today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey everybody, it's time for Code Pen Radio. This is episode number 215. I'm Marie Mosley, I'm the support lead here at Code Pen, and this week I am joined by our audio engineer, Chris Enns. Hey Chris.
Hey Marie. I don't know if audio engineer is my official, that feels like really official, I guess.
You're the one who
guy who edits
you're the
podcasts.
One who engineers it.
Yeah, knows how to cut audio, I feel like, but engineer has a nice ring to it.
We call everybody an engineer.
Right.
This is software, man. But Chris is being modest because Chris is Canadian, but Chris is the power behind the throne at Code Pen Radio. He's the person who makes sure that we sound good. And if you are a longtime listener to the show, you heard him come on the show in December of 2017. That was the last time we had you on, when we were just talking about just the idea of podcasting for a startup in general. And back then, I was just getting started with running Code Pen Radio, and it was a big learning experience for me. And Chris was giving me some tips and tricks, and I have appreciated those ever since.
Yeah, we were all young and naive back then in 2017.
Oh, yeah, the glory days. But since then, a whole lot has changed in the world of podcasting. I'd say that the last year and a half in the world of podcasting has been transformative. So much has gone on. So many new people have gotten into the game. So many existing players have gotten really big that it's just a really interesting time to be doing a podcast and an interesting time to talk about podcasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely, and it's a fun medium to be operating in. And like, obviously CodePen, you wouldn't have even known was a job you could do 10, 15 years ago, probably. But even
yeah, that's true.
Podcasting, like I was talking with my kids about, like, I wouldn't have even guessed in high school that this was a thing I could do. Like, certainly there's audio engineers, obviously, but that's who recorded like rock bands and stuff, not like nerds talking about how they develop a web app in on the internet and things like that. So it's just amazing how this whole thing sprung up, and obviously hundreds of or thousands of careers kind of sprouted up around it. So yeah, it's exciting.
It's really interesting to see how we kind of went from like a total dead zone in radio to almost like a renaissance of talk radio. Because there was a time like, in the 80s and 90s where radio was just kind of starting to fall by the wayside as like, TV and things like that were just becoming more interesting. And for a long time, nobody would listen to the radio, and certainly not talk radio unless you were like, like a total crank, but now so many people are talking about so many things and just, sharing all kinds of information in the audio format using a lot of the old skills from the radio days.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating how that kind of ebbs and flows too. You can compare it a lot to, there's a similar cycle, I guess, of blogging that happened too, obviously, where people were all of a sudden, everyone's worried that nobody's going to write anymore because of texting and because of whatever. And then all of a sudden blogging blows up and then takes off. And all of a sudden all these careers that didn't exist before are available to people. And you sort of see a similar cycle happening with podcasting. And I was wondering, is there going to be this bubble that slightly bursts a bit, and we sort of settle out from all the hype around it, as, we might get into some of the big purchases and stuff that's happening in the podcasting space, but it's still exciting, I think, and fun medium to be in and to work in, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's interesting that you mentioned blogs, because I kind of see the beginning of like a renaissance of the individual blog coming up now. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people had kind of flowed into things like Medium and larger platforms for blogging, but now I'm starting to see people start to step back a bit and crank up their own blogs again. We're starting to see people host them through Code Pen projects, because you can do like a static site through a project. People are starting to take their blog back under their own name, starting to do their own routines with it, and that's pretty cool. So it's like, it is interesting, like you mentioned, like an ebb and flow of the different types of mediums and types of, I guess, entertainment, you can call it, when you're listening to a bunch of nerds talk about code. So a new thing that we've done lately here at Code Pen Radio is we used to always host our audio in S3. We would just put it up into the cloud, and then all the information we would get about the show was basically just like raw hits. We didn't actually know like where anybody was listening from or anything like that. But we, at the end of last year, started using this new service called Simplecast to host the show audio. Are you familiar with that one, Chris?
Yeah, I have a few clients who use it, and definitely it's been around. There's kind of like in the podcast hosting space, there's like the oldest of the old ones is like Libsyn, has been around forever. It seems like they were doing podcast hosting before podcasts exist. I don't know what they did before, but yeah. And then Simplecast is definitely one of the more modern platforms, but it's one that's like, if Libsyn, this is my mental comparison. Libsyn was like Windows 3.1 design, and Simplecast mm-hmm. came along with like maybe, I don't know, whether you're a Mac or a Windows 95. It's like a nicer user interface for what's essentially just like numbers and data, obviously, and a lot of nice features. So, but yeah, I didn't realize when I started with you guys that you were using just an A3 account or S3, sorry, account and using that. But yeah.
Yeah, that's all we did. We just would kick it up there. We used Transmit and just kicked it into S3 bucket and downloaded it from there for the show. And I mean, it worked. It was
totally how developers, I could see like, you know, a bunch of nerdy developers are like, why would we use something else when we can build it ourselves?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, we had the bucket. Yeah. So it's like, hey, throw it in the bucket. And so we did. And it worked fine. But the thing is, we really didn't have any useful insight into who was listening to the show. It was just like, we got this many downloads.
Yep.
That we know. Other than that, we know nothing. And so putting it into Simplecast has really made that different, because we get, you know, a very detailed map of the world that shows like everywhere that the show is being listened to. We see it's got, you know, all the shows ranked, the top shows are, we see which shows did the best and all of that. And it's just, I mean, it's very basic stuff that we really should have had before, but we just didn't. And now it's been really useful because we've seen like, oh, this show was a big hit. People were super interested in this topic, or this show, you know, not so hot. So, you know, so we're kind of getting a feel for the things that people are interested in and where in the world people are listening to us. And that for me was the biggest shock, to see the global audience of CodePen Radio. I didn't really realize how many people were listening to the show when I was just looking at numbers. When I started to see it on a map of the world, that's when it really like hit me, like, wow, people are listening to this. This is really exciting.
Yeah. And that's where I think folks, like, obviously if you've seen Google Analytics, you know, like the kind of visual that you can get of where people are listening. And so, but to have that translated into what, you know, the 30 to 45 minutes of, you know, Marie and whichever guests you have on talking, and that they're, you know, maybe it's that false humility too of like, wow, we're actually interesting enough to people in Malaysia or wherever they are in the world that they're listening. And it can be a good boost in terms of like, oh yeah, people are actually out there listening. They're actually like seeing the physical location that they're like, not, don't get paranoid. It's not like Marie can see your house where you are in the world.
No, not at all. It's not anywhere near that. It's just like, it'll show us like what city people are listening in. So yeah. But it's exciting. It's like validating for the show, because you realize, oh, okay, yeah, people are really listening. I should keep doing this. And you know, they are actually into it. Another really cool feature that I really enjoy about Simplecast is that they have these really nice embeds that you can put into like forums. Like we post them in our Spectrum forum, and you can also share them on Twitter, and you can play it like directly from the Twitter card. You can actually listen to the episode. I don't know how many people are actually doing that, but it's super cool that that's an option.
Yeah, I have to think that those are, I mean, it all comes down to what's your personal preference for that versus what the masses are doing. And you have to kind of separate those two. Because I know for me, I don't think I would ever even listen in a web player. Like I always kind of find the way to subscribe I use Pocket Cast on my iPhone, but whatever app you use on your mobile device is sort of where I think of my phone as where I listen to podcasts, kind of like my tape player, if back in the day.
Yeah.
And my Walkman or whatever. And so, but I know there's lots of folks, like I've heard from people who, you know, will say, yeah, I listen to it on the web page, and like just while I'm working or while I'm browsing or sending me an email or whatever, that's how I listen to my favorite podcast, that way on the website. And so you have to think some folks, at least I feel like the Twitter one, the embeds, is kind of nice, because it's just like a way for them to get a quick flavor of your podcast without having to click through to your website or whatever while they're, you know, mindlessly reading all the other tweets. It can just play for as long as it's on the page, I guess, until it refreshes, and then maybe it disappears, I guess. But it gives people an easy way to taste your podcast, I guess.
Yeah, and a thing that they have coming out soon, I don't know if it's out just yet as we're speaking now, but they have this new feature called Recast, where you can take a little snippet of a show and tweet that. And that I'm really excited about, because then we can pull like the funny quote from the show or something like that and put that out with the tweet. And that way, you know, it's just a little teaser or a little taste that people can check out ahead of time. I'm also curious to see like what clips people are going to share.
Yeah.
You know, like, are people going to take little pieces of the show and share them themselves? you know, I kind of wonder, are we going to be hearing clips of ourselves from like 3 years ago saying, hey, we're going to do this. It'll probably be out in 6 months.
Well, that's what it's one of those things. I know, I think Simplecast has had that in beta for a little while. I know one of the clients I worked with, I sort of tested some of that. Well, I mean, ShopDoc Show, I don't have to be coy about it.
I know them.
We're all Chris Coyer here. and like testing it out a little bit. And it is an interesting way, because one of the knocks against podcasting, as opposed to say blogging back in the day, is it's really hard to share. Like, you can obviously share like, hey, this is a great episode where Marie talked to Chris about whatever, but like to share like just a quote from it. And that's like the way to entice people into reading the blog post in the back in the day. And I mean, still today, obviously, but whereas with podcasting, it's really hard to be like, you need to listen to, you know, the 5 minute, 30 second mark when Marie said this really scandalous thing about whatever the code editor she uses or something, and like, and started a fight over that, like blog war or whatever back in the day. But, and whereas podcasting, it's just harder to share. Like, it's video is a little easier because you can, you know, a YouTube link, it's somehow that's shareable. It feels a little more shareable, but podcast is somehow like, it's more like an experience of like a 20 to 40 minute or whatever, or longer sometimes, experience that makes up the reason why you share it, not like just a little snippet. And so hopefully services like that, like what Simplecast is doing, and I know many others are trying similar kind of packaging of like a tool to share audio. But then where the problem comes with everybody using their own app to listen, like I do, Pocket Cast, or you maybe use the Apple Podcast app, or maybe whatever number of apps that are out there. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of different apps.
Oh, there's got to be. Yeah, I use Overcast. I'm a huge Overcast fan.
And I know Marco Arment's built in some great sharing kind of features in that, where if you, I forget what he calls it in there, like or favorite one, that can get socially recommended to people, other people inside the app and things like that. And that's great. And so, but it's just, there is all these little silos of podcast listeners all over the place, and there's not sort of one central, you know, database of like what everybody's liked or whatever. And so that's where some of the big business stuff coming in that we can talk about is they're trying to force a change there so they can have more data and, you know, analyze people and figure out what people are listening to across all the apps and all the services that are out there. But of course, everybody's reluctant to give up control because they don't want it to be, you know, back into DRM movie days either.
Yeah.
So anyways, I can go on and rant about it for
hours. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of the purpose of the episode. But yeah, I mean, it is interesting because podcasting in general has been such an independent thing for so long. There's networks and groups that work together. But now, I mean, there's big business coming into this. And one symptom, or I guess you could almost say a side effect of podcasting becoming a bigger and more respected medium and having more people involved in it, is that we're starting to get these PR pitches constantly at CodePen Radio. And for, you know, just like the random CTO of some random company that has just like nothing to do with us will write in saying, hey, or actually they don't even write in themselves. It's like an underling of theirs will write in and say, hey, do you want to talk to, you know, Joe Blow from our company? He's like really good at blockchain. And it's like, what? Like, this is CodePen Radio. What are we going to do talking to a blockchain guy? Maybe roast him. I don't know. But it's been interesting because it's like, I guess they just find out like we're in the tech category. We must like hit some kind of threshold of like listeners or something. And they're like, oh, well, we better get, you know, Joe Blow on the show because they've got a big audience, I guess. I mean, they just seem so random and so scattershot that I just don't know why they're even contacting us. And they clearly don't. They have no familiarity with our show, which is like very much about us. Like CodePen Radio is about CodePen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's variations on that have been going on, I know, for years in podcasting. I think that's kind of like the everything else is like, as podcasting grows, so do the, I don't know, I don't want to categorize people in a bad way, like the bottom feeders of that world, like where it's just some sort of algorithm going, because I'll get them for like shows that have no business, like it's my daily-ish podcast, which was a show that's just me talking for 10 minutes by myself. I'll get pitched from like, hey, you have a podcast and we just wrote a book, couldn't we come on and talk about it? And like, obviously they've never even listened to the show and they don't have any idea. I think a brilliant podcast could be actually be, if somebody has a comedic mind for this, is like taking those and almost like using the prank caller idea, or not prank caller, where people are calling you and you kind of like spin it back on them and kind of like poking a bit of fun with it. And obviously not in a mean spirited way, but just like exposing a bit of like the sort of spammy garbage that it actually is that's going on, and inviting these people onto your podcast, but then trying to spin it all in a completely different direction or whatever. I'm not funny enough to actually follow through on that idea, but someone could run with that one.
Somebody should. But it is funny because, you know, there's one thing where it's like someone would ask you, oh, can I put a guest post on your website? And it's like, okay, like I understand why they want that. It's got the backlinks or whatever. But if you go on a podcast and you're not ready to be on it, you're going to sound like a goofball. Like, I really don't see why they think this is a good idea. I guess unless they think we're just going to let them uninterrupted pitch their product. I really, it's like I almost want to invite one on just to see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that's a symptom of these big changes in the podcast world where, like, you know, Spotify got in, Pandora actually just got in fairly recently, right? And I mean, Spotify made that big buy where they bought Gimlet. And
yeah,
I mean, this is serious business.
Yeah, there's big money. I mean, it's big money in podcasting for sure, because, you know, the majority of podcasters are dealing with, like, would you maybe give me $100 to sponsor my episode or whatever? And then, you know, right. Spotify comes along and drops $200 million or whatever it was for Gimlet, like a podcast production house, which has a fairly big presence. Like, if you were actually went to their New York or wherever they are, Brooklyn offices, you know, it does look like a real business. It's not just, you know, in some guy's basement like my podcast studio is. but still, it does feel like, okay, well, this is signaling like a change. There's like a, now things are happening at that level kind of idea. And it's kind of a wake up call, I guess, for the industry in a sense. And not that there hasn't been money in it before, but it has been primarily like someone rising to prominence on their own, kind of bootstrapping themselves, growing big enough to where all of a sudden they've got this massive audience. And then, you know, shows like Serial come along and Gimlet comes along with their production studio and grow to that next level now, and having Spotify buy them, obviously. And then Spotify buying an Anchor, which is a anchor.fm, I think is your URL, but, you know, it's a podcast creation web app, essentially, and an iPhone or Android app. And so they're kind of putting their feet in both sides of the equation with both the media they want to create, but then also buying the tools to create that same medium. And so it's just an interesting play, I guess, and we'll see where it all lands in the future as to how that'll play out if they get tired of, you know, funding. Because Anchor is basically where anybody could just record a podcast, which is great, I think, for the medium. That's awesome and how it should be. But Spotify owning them now, are they going to get tired of, you know, funding, you know, your podcast about your cat that might not have very many listeners, and Spotify doesn't get, you know, many ad sales off of that, and how that's all going to play out. But then actually just today they bought, or just announced this today anyways, they bought another podcasting studio, Parcast it's called. I hadn't even heard of it, but apparently really big in the like horror story podcast space.
Well, that would explain why I've never heard of it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not my bag.
And so I think it's kind of like the idea of like they want to create a whole bunch of content that's cheaper than what they pay right now to license U2 or whoever, whichever band, you know, their music on their player app, and hoping more people will listen to that because they can sell ads either way. It doesn't matter. They just want earballs, earbuds, eardrums, I guess.
Eardrums, yeah. I think is that's the scientific term.
I'm not a doctor.
Good thing.
And so that's where I think the play is for them. And so obviously there's a bit of like a scramble as to how this is all going to play out. And at the end of the day, though, you know, CodePen Radio, things that I do, my clients, like you're all kind of, there's a bunch of like under that sort of big, huge production umbrella, there's still like a whole bunch of people doing podcasts for fun or for business or marketing, and just like geeks getting together to play D&D on a podcast or whatever. Like that, nothing about any of this changes what we're doing at that level, let's say. But it does kind of feel like there's a big, I don't know, big anchor that's been dropped, or my analogies are failing me right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely really exciting to see how huge it's getting now. And just there's so much happening in terms of like podcast as entertainment. But you're right. I mean, there's so many different ways to keep using a podcast. You know, you don't have to have the mega show. You don't have to be, you know, running 100 ads. You just need to, you know, do something that I mean, you want to have an audience. It's a little silly to, you know, my podcast about my cat, you know, it didn't take off, but you didn't really have to bring that up, but you know, but you know, I mean, sure. Like there's always going to be these tiny, tiny niche things too. And there's things that fall somewhere in the middle or, you know, wherever CodePen Radio comes up, which is like, it's for a very specific purpose. It's for a very, very specific audience. And it's serving that audience and serving that purpose. But, you know, I don't see us having a huge production deal with Spotify or something like that anytime soon anyway. I don't know, though. Our Halloween episode last year was pretty great. So we'll see. We'll see how we do.
This episode of Code Pen Radio is brought to you by Jetpack. That's jetpack.com. It's a WordPress plugin, you know, for your self-hosted WordPress site that brings tons of power from the WordPress.com universe over to your, you know, your self-hosted site. So they're massive hosting infrastructure and all that. But it's not just about the power. It's just, it brings like this wealth of different features to your site. So, you know, backups is one of them that we've talked about. Social media integration is one we've talked about. I just used a feature of Jetpack just the other day that I had never used before, but I found it to be tremendously useful in the moment. One is that, like, I just had a movie sitting on my desktop. You know, I record little movies all the time for something to, like, just explain a bug. Or at CodePen, we use little short movies to post to Instagram, to post to social media of people's interesting work on CodePen. Anyway, I all the time have little video clips that I want to use for something, and they vary. Sometimes you shoot a really quick clip and it's tiny. It's like 800 kilobytes or something, which for a video is really small. Or sometimes it's like 15 megabytes or hundreds of megabytes or something. You might know that on a self-hosted WordPress site, there has something to do with your host and your PHP settings and all that stuff. There's like a maximum upload size for images and video. And if you drag something too big on there, you just get like a warning in WordPress. It's like, that's too big. You can't upload that. It's above the setting that we allow. And that's fine. It's just that, like, okay, if it's a big image, find somewhere else to host it or shrink it down. It's just kind of a warning. Maybe you can get around it by making it smaller. But if it's a video, maybe I'll put it on YouTube or whatever. But, like, what should I do? Make it unlisted? And then there's that whole rigmarole for uploading it there. No, Jetpack brings, like, WordPress.com video hosting, which is, like, super fast, has a really nice player. It's totally ad-free. They have their own WordPress video player, and you can just use it if you have Jetpack on your site. And there's, you know, the uploading limit isn't there. So you go onto WordPress.com, open the media uploader for your site there, and drag and drop your larger movie file there. And then it's just automatically in the same media picker thing on your self-hosted WordPress site. So you're like, I was working on a Gutenberg site, and I made a new Gutenberg block for a video, uploaded on WordPress.com, but then picked the movie out of the image player there, and it just worked great. It just looked like every other video on the site. It's just that one was hosted on WordPress's servers with Jetpack's thing. It was great. It was just a nice little feature, and I was like, that works. I can use it because I have Jetpack. So thanks, Jetpack.
I'm sure listeners who are like in this space, like obviously I could do a pitch for clients here or whatever, but like in this space where if they're listening to CodePen Radio, chances are they're interested in how, you know, running a web app is done. And that's obviously part of the appeal for listeners, I would think, and hearing, you know, behind the scenes from you and the other staff or team at CodePen. But I guess if you can step back off of the microphone, so to speak, and say like, how would CodePen determine if CodePen Radio is successful as a, you know, a marketing, it's part marketing, it's part branding, it's part just like a way for you guys to talk with each other too, right? So if I can the question back to you, I guess, how do you know it's successful, or how do you know it's worth putting money into, obviously, because you put time and money and effort into it. And it's not just purely for fun, obviously.
Right.
So how do you guys sort of determine whether it's been successful or maybe you're not at that point yet?
I do think that we consider it successful because for me, like, in particular, the feedback that we get from people who listen to the show is the most valuable and useful feedback we get practically from any of our members, because it is they just have such a very good understanding of what CodePen is, where we're heading with it, that the people who, like, take the time to listen to the show are just, like, the most super of super users. And it's great to hear from them, and we hear from them more and more as time goes by. So that tells me that more very engaged members of CodePen are listening to the show. So that growth is success to me. And, you know, we obviously have numbers of listeners, and they have been growing over time. And there is the value that we're able to sell ads for most episodes of the show. So there's a money value too. It pretty much, it pays for itself in its time, you know? But the real success of it is the feedback that we get from people who listen to the show. It is incredibly high quality.
Right. And so, I guess that's the community building aspect for Code. Because I think there's probably other services out there similar, you know, your competitors or whatever. I don't even know. I'm not smart enough to know all this stuff on that side of things. But who maybe don't have that. And so, you have this humanizing factor of a podcast that tells people about who's behind this. Just a, you know, when I type a codepen.io in my web browser, there's actually humans that have to make that work as much as it's machines and computers. But
it does give people a chance to get to know us, which, you know, as much as they want to know the people behind the software that they're using, I mean, they do get a pretty good glimpse into the inside of how we do things here.
Yeah. I think it's just an interesting way of, I often use CodePen when I'm talking with potential clients or people just asking me for ideas of why they would do a podcast. Is CodePen Radio, I think, is a prime example of why you would do not like the heavily produced, there's a buzzword of branded podcasts where Slack did one for a few years where it was call it? Slack.
I remember that one.
I forget what it was called now, but, where it wasn't actually talking anything about Slack other than there was a bit little 30-second pitch for Slack, and they would just talk about interesting stories and hope more people would listen to their podcast, and then just a subtle pitch for Slack in there. And so I think what's the e-commerce site? Not Spotify, Shopify has
Shopify,
does something like that as well. And so that's
cool.
Yeah, so that's one angle that a business can take is you spend obviously a lot of production value, money, and time an effort in creating a really interesting podcast, maybe about e-commerce. I think Shopify's is, but it's not listen, use Shopify, over and over. They just have a subtle pitch for it. Whereas, with CodePen Radio, I feel it's a different tack that is also working for you guys and that businesses or brands or whatever could take too, where it's kind of here's who we are. This is why, we're passionate about this thing and why you should listen or why you should use our service is kind of an underlying theme, but you're not you're not hitting everybody over the head with sign up now for CodePen and here's a pro plan for 15 days. And if you don't like it, then whatever, so I think it's a really valuable way of humanizing again, the web that we all work on and connecting the humans behind the microphones or the keyboards or whatever.
Yeah, that's been what we've been trying to do. So I'm glad to hear it's working. So tell me a little bit more about what's new, with your shows and your clients this year. I know that you've been busy yourself with your own show and that I know you've got some cool new people that you're working with.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to remember back in 2017, I think I just sort of started towards this plunge of thinking, being a full-time podcast editing producer kind of person, or engineer, I guess now you're calling me. So
everybody's an engineer in software.
And so now, it is basically my full-time gig. I have a few sort of, clients, web clients and stuff, WordPress-based clients that I still help out occasionally. But for the 100% or nearly of my business is now editing podcasts and producing podcasts for folks. And so on one side, the hobbyist podcaster in me is still yearning to create my own stuff in that. And so that's where I have a podcast network with friends called goodstuff.fm, and we put out new shows and stuff. And there's actually a fun new show. A friend of mine just started it. It's called Baseline, where it's a couple of guys, one guy who doesn't really know anything about baseball and the other guy who knows more about baseball. And they're kind of walking through why it's kind of how you would learn about, tech traditionally, but in terms of baseball. And so they started that show. And then also for podcasters who are I kind of have a bit of a passion for teaching and educating, but also community building around this thing. And there's, so I started a thing called castaways.club, and it's basically a community membership site for podcasters who are maybe feeling, it can be a little bit of a lonely venture, and you kind of you are, you're sitting in your house somewhere and talking with people, but still, you put that thing out in the world and you see the analytics, but you don't really have, it's not like you have peers alongside you as much that you work with and kind of encourage each other and troubleshoot and challenge each other and get feedback and things like that. And so that's kind of what I wanted to start with that. So that started in January here and kind of just sort of iterating on that and growing with that and having a bit of fun there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so it's also just on the geeky side, for folks who've maybe listened to some of the, I think I've done a sponsor read on CodePen, but definitely on Shop Talk.
You have?
Yeah.
You've done a couple of
the
those.
Netlify one is using Netlify and I can't even remember which static site generator. Shoot. I should, this is how nerdy I am, but it's not 11D. It's the Java. Shoot. I'm showing my ignorance here. Anyways, it's one of those ones. How's that? But running on Netflix, running the marketing side on Netlify has been like a really neat thing. And like, I think I heard about it through Shop Talk or CodePen probably originally. And, you know, that, again, sort of like a proof of how sponsorship works for getting folks aware of your product.
Yeah, totally. So. even our podcast person hears it.
Well, there's that thing with, like, Chris Coyer, you know, talks about Notion. You guys talk about Notion all the time. It's like, it's impossible not to be using Notion at this point if you're listening to anything that CodePen Radio or Shop Talk. And I get it like twice as much as anybody else because I hear it all, you know, when I'm editing it too. So, yeah, Notion has been a great tool for that.
Boy, has it ever. Yeah, we almost got by without mentioning them in this episode.
Take a drink if you're at the Notion bingo.
Yeah, we need, like, I keep joking that we need like a noise, the Notion, the air horn or something, because, I mean, we just live in Notion.
And then, like, as far as clients and stuff, I appreciate you asking and just by way of, I think what I was going to say earlier is that I think podcasting is trying to grow, and it feels neat, like, where podcasts, at least at this stage, maybe we'll start fighting with each other more, but it feels like generally people add new shows to listen to. They don't, like, if show dies out, obviously they stop listening because it's not there anymore, but they don't, like, sure. It's not like they choose, I need one developer podcast to listen to, and I need one murder mystery podcast to listen to, and I need one guy rambling podcast to listen to. They just kind of like a show and they add it to their list, and all of a sudden they find more time to listen to podcasts somehow. And so I feel like that's a similar thing with my clients I've found, where, you know, just kind of sharing shows you listen to is a really fun way. It's kind of almost like Oprah's Book Club or whatever for podcasts, where you're just kind of like sharing what you listen to and finding out what other people listen to. And because there's so many out there and there's just more being added every day. So one of my clients is Transistor.fm, actually a podcast hosting platform. And they have a podcast similar to CodePen Radio. Actually, I feel like it's kind of, when I listen to the two shows as I'm editing, it's kind of like you guys could all like hang out sometime and compare notes. But they do a show called Build Your SaaS, where it's basically behind the scenes look at a marketing guy and a developer launching a podcast hosting app. And then Drinking Socially is from the folks behind Untappd, which is a social network for beer lovers, I guess, or beer drinkers.
Oh, cool.
And not so much the developer side. There's a little bit of that where they talk about their app, but it's kind of a bit more like, I mean, as you might suspect, just talking about beer they've had and events in the beer world and the craft beer markets and all that kind of stuff. And
are some of those episodes like really short and then some of them are really long?
Well, it is funny because they do, like, you know, they'll talk about the beer they're drinking, and generally they have one and sometimes they might have two. And so it's funny listening to it because they're able to handle themselves. It's not like they're drunk, but they do, you know, certain words start to sound a little dragged out maybe than they were at the start of the episode.
Nice.
But yeah. And then what was the other? Oh, Real Talk JavaScript. Obviously for folks who are listening to CodePen Radio, probably would love if most of the episode I spend trying to figure out what they're talking about. So that means it's probably really good for folks who are really into tech stuff. And then one more that's kind of fun if you're in the podcasting space that you might not have heard of is Chartable Radio. Chartable.com is a stats sort of database stats analytics company that tries to pull in all your stats from everywhere. Again, like I said at the start, your everything, you know, analytics and everything are all over the place and different players. And so they try to like bring that all together and give you a meaningful look at what stats are, you know, what you're charting in wherever, Malaysia, let's say on the Apple podcast site in Malaysia as compared to the US, and how your podcast maybe has moved up or down in the charts. And if you're at all like either ego reasons or for business reasons, you need to track some of that stuff. You can check out Chartable.com, and they have Chartable Radio is interviews with folks in the podcasting space.
Yeah, this is really cool. That's really exciting. I'm super happy to hear that you have so many new folks coming onto the roster there.
Yeah, it's fun. And it's like, I keep wondering if I'm going to get a podcast. I shouldn't jinx myself, I guess, with this, but like, you know, if I'm going to get a podcast to work on that is just going to be like draining, or like, you know, something really dry, boring, and you have to sit there and listen to it, edit it, which is part of the job, right? But so far I'm knock on wood or whatever my desk is made of, you know, blessed with shows and clients that are really fun to listen to, and don't tell them and don't tell CodePen Radio that I would probably listen to it anyways, even if I wasn't editing it. But it's fun to be working with you guys on a project like that. So
yeah, that's cool. It seems like you've really like carved out a niche too, because we're all different podcasts, but I see a common thread running through us, which is that, you know, there's definitely a heavy tech angle there. So that's pretty cool.
That's actually friends who, you know, people have approached me about getting into this kind of work or whatever. And I feel like there's, again, there's lots of opportunity there. I mean, it's not a gold mine. I'm not, I'm still working in my basement here, but like, you know, I think the word of mouth thing is the biggest referral engine, marketing engine for me. Cause it's like many things where people trust you because they know you and they know that you'll handle their podcast or their website, just like building a website for somebody. Once they hand it over to you, they're, you know, people are really trusting and knowing that you're going to take care of it, but it's kind of just getting that first kind of introduction or whatever. That's really hard, obviously, in this space. And so, building up a network of folks, making your own podcasts and experimenting there instead of on your clients' podcasts is generally a good idea. And
that's smart. All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. And thanks, as always, for editing out all of our burps and F words and weird, awkward pauses and stuff like that. We really appreciate the work you do for us, Chris.
Yeah, I've got a whole directory of outtakes. So if anybody ever needs some ammunition for CodePen, just let me know.
Yeah, I know that somewhere there's like a 10-minute clip reel of me just going, All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show, Chris. And thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Seven, six, zero, three, one, eight.